I'm John Batchelor with Professor Catherine Conybeare. Her new book is Augustine the African, Emphasizing the Place. But in Augustine's mind, as a literary scholar, as with a gift for language, he's read a book that changes his direction called the Aeneid. You might have heard of it, written by Virgil for the period of time right before the emperor becomes Augustus. And afterwards, I think Virgil died about 19 BCE. But the book, the Aeneid, was the retelling of the story of the Iliad from the point of view of a survivor of the Iliad's disaster, the burning of Troy, a young man named Aeneas. He wanders, important, he wanders, and he touches the shore of North Africa, and the queen of Carthage, Dido, falls in love with him. Why was that important to Augustine? How did he interpret it, Catherine?
It was important to Augustine for exactly the opposite reason to what you would think. He learned to read through the Aeneid. It was absolutely fundamental to his education, and it was part of acculturating him to admire Rome and to admire the Roman legacy, since Aeneas went on to found Rome. And instead, Augustine fell in love with Dido. And he makes it quite clear in the Confessions that he identified profoundly with Dido. He refers to the great wanderer and founder Aeneas as just some Aeneas or other. Whereas Dido, he emphasizes, he weeps again and again over her death. Why he falls in love with Dido is she was, other than a very charismatic literary figure, she was the mythical founder of the city of Carthage. And for Augustine growing up, Carthage was the greatest, most glamorous city he knew. His love for Dido seems importantly to be part of how he self-identified as an African in a Roman world, this passionate identification with this founding figure.
He's now sailing away, however. He goes to Carthage. He's a teacher, grammar teacher in Latin. He's disappointed with Carthage, and he has in his mind that he's going to be Aeneas. And there's a scene that Catherine presents to us that's hard to believe, but there it is, with Augustine sailing away for perhaps the rest of his life, and his mother, Monica, on the shore. She didn't kill herself, but she's a pretty good substitute of Dido. Was she self-aware of that? Was Augustine self-aware of that?
And just as Aeneas tricked Dido to get away, Augustine tricked his mother. He pretended he was just going to say goodbye to a friend in the port and encouraged her to spend the night in an oratory that overlooked the bay up which his ship then sailed to Italy. So yes, he wriggled away. He left his mother behind. He left North Africa behind. North Africa, he felt at that stage, was too small for his ambitions, and he was setting sail for Rome.
He arrives in Rome, and he's disappointed. Augustine's disappointed a lot in his life, and it's part of his temperament. He's disappointed with his students. I think you said, you emphasized several times, they don't pay him. What was the school that he was participating in? How did it work in the late 4th century?
How teaching worked is, it's not as organized as a school. Charismatic lecturers would gather young people around them to educate. In this case, he was teaching rhetoric. And the presumption was that they would pay directly the people who were teaching them. In this case, he had been persuaded that his Roman students would be better behaved than his Carthaginian students. And so they were, until it became time to pay, whereupon they left.
Deeply disappointing Augustine, of course, and the unnamed woman. They have the baby by this time? This is the second year in Rome?
I don't. Yes. They do. The baby is born when Augustine is only about 17. He's very young. And his companion, probably a much lower class girl from the same hometown of Thagaste, travels with him first to Rome and then northwards to Milan. So they're a little household as they move north through Italy.
The disappointment with Rome is profound, but he's advised to go to Milan. I checked, Catherine. It took him 3 weeks to get to Milan on the road. It now takes 5.5 hours of driving. Things have changed a little bit. But in Milan, there's a very major figure named Ambrose. We're going to speak of at length. What is Ambrose at that moment? What does he represent? We have 30 seconds.
Ambrose is an exceptionally charismatic, aristocratic man who is also a bishop.
And he's the bishop of Milan. In talking about Catherine's book with a colleague of mine who is a Milanese, I had no idea that Ambrose was such a big character. I had no idea. In fact, La Scala opens every year on Ambrose's birthday or death date, the Ambrose day in the calendar. Which is it, Catherine?
It's his feast day.
It's his feast day. Ambrose's feast day is the opening of La Scala. We're going to go to Milan, and Mom shows up. The book is Augustine the African. Catherine Conybeare is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.